Well, as I said, we come to the very end of the book of Philippians this morning. We say goodbye with Paul to his beloved friends. Listen now to God's final word to us from this book. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in the emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we do say our final farewells to the book of Philippians. I hope you have enjoyed diving into this small book of the Bible together over these last 3 months. It has been amazing to read every verse of that book, the beautiful ones and the simple ones, in worship together. Over the last 12 weeks, we've delighted in the lovely landscape of verses like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and in everything, let your requests be made known to God in prayer, and may the peace that surpasses all understanding guide your hearts. We've used the compassion of Christ as a compass these months. We've held on to our Christian integrity when we've been forever living in a whatever world. We have thought about desiring God, encouraging one another, and remaining mindful of the gift of Christian friendship. And of course, we've stood on the glorious mountain peak of this letter, marveling at the panoramic view of the gospel that Paul gives us in the second chapter in the Christ hymn, explaining that Jesus did not regard equality or kingship with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on human form as a slave, suffering death, even death on a cross, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. What an excellent Sunday for us to conclude our journey through the landscape of the book of Philippians, where the crown jewel of the letter is a hymn singing about the lordship, the kingship of Christ. If the Christ hymn is the crown jewel of the book of Philippians, then the crown itself is Paul's instruction to be imitators of Christ. Again and again throughout the book, we are called back to emulate, to copy Christ. Now, some copying is good in life, but sometimes you could be like me. I was in my house the other day, and I heard my daughter from the other room yelling at our dog, Red, saying, "No, Red, no, go away." She has learned to imitate the way I talk to my dog, and I'm not proud of it. If you've been around our house when our dog has been going nuts, you know I have this deep, scary voice I use. Children are great imitators. Really good imitators of their parents, and I think this is the beginning of me as a parent using the wisdom, do as I say, not as I do. It's an essential instruction for parents because we want to teach our children the right way to go, even if we can't live up to it perfectly all the time, even if we know they can't live up to it perfectly all the time. We want them to know the path. And that is where God's grace comes in for all of us. But with Jesus as our parent, as the one we are copying, the instruction is different. It is do as Jesus says, but also as he does, because he is the perfect parent worth copying. Jesus descended from a high heavenly throne, Paul tells us, to join us, even in the pits of despair in this life. He dwells with us in the depths of darkness, and so too are we invited to descend from the places of our removed comfort to dwell with others when their lives descend into the pit. Jesus walked a path of downward mobility. He emptied himself of status and power, and so too are we encouraged to live as humble and compassionate servants whose lives are always bent toward the love of God in Jesus. This, Paul says, is truly the key that opens the door to a life worth living, because Jesus' life is a vision of what a truly good, truly true, and truly beautiful human life looks like. It is commonplace in our world for people's image of God to be a distant, aloof, or condemning God, always far and critical of us, not caring about our plight. And the world sometimes thinks that of the church, too. They think we're removed or old school or irrelevant, not caring about what happens in people's everyday lives. But the God we see in Jesus is the exact opposite. This God is closer to us than we are to ourselves, closer than the breath in our lungs. This God is the light in our darkness where no one else dares to go. That's the image of Jesus that we get in the book of Philippians. And that, therefore, is the image of the church that we are given in the book of Philippians. We lose our lives as Christians and find them. When we give ourselves away, we receive much. When we put others first, we miraculously find ourselves given back to us. If you want to know what the church is to be, you need only look at Jesus. But then the question becomes, well, how are we to become more like Jesus? It's true that only Jesus is Jesus. He lived a perfect life, and we can never fully live up to him. But knowing that God is God is a gift, a part of the faithful life. Yet still, Paul is not a pie-in-the-sky theologian trying to trick us or outsmart us. He wants to land this in a way that is practical for our everyday 9-to-5 lives. And he offers one clear instruction in this book. Pray. Pray in all things. Pray through all things. Pray for all things. The key to being like Jesus isn't just doing more. And isn't that a relief? Everyone is telling us to do more all the time. All God is inviting us to here is to abide and dwell in the presence of our Maker. Our doing for God is not meant to outpace our being with God. The foundation of the home that is our Christian life is none other than time with our Maker. And this doesn't have to be difficult. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is actually very simple. So we are to pray simply and to simply pray. So what happens when we pray? When we imitate God that we see in Jesus, even especially in the darkest moments of our lives? Well, then, to quote a title by the wonderful C.S. Lewis, we might find ourselves surprised by joy. By joy. Paul's favorite words in the book of Philippians. Rejoice again. I say rejoice. We sang it this morning in our first hymn. How could this man who is in prison facing a likely death sentence say again and again and again, rejoice? I say rejoice. How could that kind of joy be possible? Because joy is not something you can buy on Black Friday. It doesn't come at 30% off, and you're not going to find it under the tree. Yes, it's a gift, but it's the gift of a person who encounters us at our lowest. In the movie Shawshank Redemption, there's a moment when Andy Dufresne, the lead character, is in the warden's office, and the warden is out of the office, and Andy sees a record player. He takes a record of two Italian women singing, puts it on the record player, and then turns it on for the whole prison to hear. And his friend Red, who our dog is named after, says this, "I don't know what the women were singing about. Just for a moment, a beautiful little bird flew into our drab little cage, and for a moment, every last man at Shawshank was free." Paul had physical chains. We all have chains as well. You know these chains. You brought them with you this morning. Whether it's family strife, financial trouble, anxiety, depression, grief over a loved one, fear over a diagnosis, or your own propensity to just make a mess of things, we all have chains. We're imprisoned in one way or another, but we don't have to be. not because we can somehow get ourselves out of our chains like Houdini all by ourselves. No, because God has given us freedom in Christ. Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. In the gospel about Jesus' love for the world, that is a song that flaps into our drab little cages and sets us free, even if just for a moment, but a moment we can experience again and again. That is the joy of the gospel. As a church, we try to live into this joy whenever we pray for one another, whenever we celebrate birthdays, even in our church-wide Christmas party where we have a raucous and silly time, because that joy is something that we are holding fast to in the midst of a world that, let's be honest, feels more and more chaotic and terrifying by the day. Joy is a practice of Christian hopefulness in the midst of a difficult world. And it is a gift that God gives us and that we offer others. So, in the letter to the Philippians, Paul gives us imitating Christ, the God who climbs into a pit, a life rooted in prayer, and the surprise of joy that unites us as Christ's body. So what could be left? A blessing. What is left for us at the end of this letter is a little blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You can tell a lot by a letter, by how it ends. And what does Paul do? He blesses his beloved audience. Blessings are more than just wishing someone well. Blessing is calling on the power of God to love and care and encourage another person. A blessing carries with it true meaning and power. Blessing is a gift that we can give to one another. Blessing, as I said to our children, is praying for someone to their face. It's enveloping another person in a reality that they may not even be able to hold on to themselves right now, but is nonetheless present. It is wrapping another person in the reality of God. My in-laws, Josh's parents, recently traveled to Linden, Washington, where Josh's mom, Marley, grew up, to help her aging parents move out of their old farmhouse and into a condo. Lamar turns 90 in December, and with his Parkinson's, no one knows how much time he has left. In all the flurry of activity that surrounds downsizing, Marley's brother, Roger, reached out from Texas and asked if he could bring his two sons up to visit his father. By the time they were going to get there, there wouldn't be much downsizing work left to do, so there was a question. Why are they trying to visit so urgently? Well, Marley found out later that Roger brought his boys to have a special weekend with their grandfather. They took Lamar out on the Puget Sound for fishing. They rode his tractor. They had a nice time. But on the last day of their visit, the reason for their travel became clear. Roger asked his father to give a blessing to his boys. The whole trip from Texas to Washington was for this one thing, a blessing. And Lamar, being a man steeped in scripture all the days of his life, took his tremoring hands and placed them on his boys' heads and wrapped them in the reality of God, generation to generation. He blessed them. Blessing is one of the things Pastor Josh and I love to do the most. The very last thing you hear on Sunday is not a rousing call to go and do it out there. It is an invitation for you to lift your hands, for us to lift our hands, and we benedict, we bless you. And you may have noticed that we try to catch the eye of as many of you as we can when we do it. We see your tears. We see your trembling hands. We see you kids playing with your parents' hands and doing silly things. And in that moment, you are reminded that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God's love surrounds you. The reality of God's presence in this world encompasses you. And in the end, All of our lives are a letter of blessing that we carry with us, no matter where we go. So in that spirit, I would like to end our time in the book of Philippians the way Paul does, with a blessing. Friends, may you find yourselves loved. May you who come to the end of the day or a season of showing up and serving, of pouring out yourselves, may you taste the sweet satisfaction of emptying yourselves like Christ. May you who flutter in and out of this place on the wings of a bird, may you encounter here a depth and a rootedness that shakes you and draws you ever further up and further in. May you who stumble with a heavy thud into the pit of darkness and despair, may you discover a warmth and a light that is nothing less than the presence of God. May all of you, in faith or in doubt, be awed by the wondrous mystery that is our God, a triune God in community, refusing to be God without us. May this awesome love and power cause you to sing and dance with joy again and again. Amen.